Where? Oh, here we go. Oh, it's the young lad. Here we go, everybody. Turn this gain up to 6. Here's the weight one. Drafty. Where is he?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to gather around, I'll tell you a little bit of history behind what you've just seen. Come on, come in close. It's not that warm yet. Right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The ceremony you've just seen is called the Setting of the Watch, and it's happened every night in Ripon ever since the year 886, or so the story is told. Before I start talking about the story and the history behind it all, it's always nice to find out where everyone comes from. So if we can go around the group and just get a bit of a feel for where everyone's from, that would be lovely. Yourselves, where are you from? You're from Broad End? Alright, okay. Alright, is it nice? You've brought the weather with you, haven't you? It's lovely. Manchester, you as well? Yes, back in. Norwich?
Richmond.
Which Richmond? The only one really to me. Yourself? Hey, I like it when the locals come out and see us. Brilliant.
Richmond,
alright.
Ripon?
Yeah, well, locals, I like it.
South Africa.
Good group tonight. South Africa, alright. It's always nice when the people from the colonies come back to visit.
Canada?
Canada.
Same thing.
Same thing, really.
Stratford.
Don't want to spoil your team.
Newcastle.
Pardon?
Newcastle.
Oh, I love Newcastle.
Hexham in Northumberland.
Oh, right, okay. Very nice. Yourselves?
Stratford.
Stratford. All right, cracking.
Manchester.
Manchester.
South Africa.
South Africa. Do you know each other?
No, yeah.
I know, it's a pretty small country, isn't it?
Yeah.
So everyone says the same about England as well.
Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe. Oh, very nice. Yeah. I know quite a few people from Zimbabwe.
Canada.
Canada.
Yeah.
I know them.
No, I don't.
Canada's really small.
Yeah, quite tiny, Canada.
Very nice. Chesley Street. Oh, very nice. Yeah, all the family, all good stuff. You come for the weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah? Brighton. Brighton. Oh, come up to the sunny part of the country. Salisbury. Very nice. Knaresborough. Oh, a bit more local than Canada, really. Manchester.
Manchester.
Yeah. That's it now. You're from, which part of France are you from?
Bordeaux.
Oh, very nice, good to see you. Yeah. Right. Good evening, everybody. My name's Wayne Cobbett, and I'm one of the Ripon City Hornblowers. As I said, the ceremony you've just seen is called the Setting of the Watch. It dates back to the year 886, or at least so the story told. The story is that in 886, the country was a lot simpler times back then. There were Saxon times. The Vikings had come across the sea, had landed on the east coast, and had raided across the country, and had gone far down as south as London, or at least what we now call London. It wasn't called London then, but it was one of the biggest cities within the country still even then. And King Alfred the Great at the time, he decided he'd had enough of the Vikings pillaging the lands, so he led the uprising against the Vikings. Now, he wasn't a very good baker, but he was a cracking leader and a brilliant warrior. So, he was successful in kicking the Vikings out of London. He left London with his son, Athelstan, who later became king, and he rebuilt London to be the city it is today. Alfred the Great left the city, travelling the country, making sure everyone was happy with the unsettled peace, because he'd set up a pact with the Vikings called Danelaw. And that was that they'd have their territories in the north of the country and leave the southern counties alone. And when he was travelling the country, came to Ripon, and he was so in awe, so impressed with the amount of support he was given by the townspeople, he wanted to do something for us. He wanted to grant us charter rights to become a city. That was a spontaneous decision. He had nothing on him at the time, no fancy parchment scroll with a big blob of wax at the bottom of it, just squiggly writing on it. What he did have on him was a horn. Not this horn, but a horn that still resides in our town hall today. Comes out on 5 days of the year that we call Horn Days. Special parades like Mare Making, Remembrance Parade, things like that. But I'll talk more about horns in a moment. So, after the Great left the city and we had this horn, we wondered what the hell we were going to do with it. So, in those days, we'd had a wakeman. A wakeman of someone that stayed up during the hours of darkness and patrolled the city, keeping a watchful eye. His watch started at 9 o'clock each evening, carried on until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. He was given the horn so that he could sound the horn at the start of his watch so that the townspeople knew that he was on duty, and it also set a curfew so that people knew to put the fires out and that sort of thing. And that pretty much stayed unchanged for centuries. Although over the centuries the wakeman became more and more powerful to the point where he was the first man of the city, and in the 1500s he was elected by the 12 most powerful men in the city. These were heads of the trade guilds within the city, like the wool industry. And once he was elected for a year-long term, then he simply elected the other 11 as his constables. And they ruled the city with a rod of iron. It was their show. They could make up laws as they saw fit, and even give out punishments as they saw fit, to the point where they had hangings and whippings in the market square where we are today. And some Friday nights we'd like to bring it back. The mayor's not so keen. I believe there's an election this year, so what can we do? So, like I say, that carried on for many, many centuries, until 1604. King James I was on the throne, and he decided to grant Ripon a written charter, and that came with some conditions. He said, your wakeman's become far too powerful. Get rid of him, create your first mayor and elected council by the people of Ripon. So that's what they did. The first mayor of Ripon was also a wakeman in his day, and that was Mr. Hugh Ripley. Now, he was very proud of the tradition of setting the watch, being a wakeman in his day. But by then, the wakeman or the mayors didn't come out and sound a horn on these cold Yorkshire nights, especially when it's raining. So what they did is they employed a hornblower to do that for them. And when Mr. Hugh Ripley took over, he carried on employing a hornblower to carry the tradition going. So ever since 1604, the city has employed a hornblower to carry out the ceremony, just as a ceremony. We don't have to stay up all night, thankfully, and patrol the city. But that's been ever since 1604. Mr. Hugh Ripley, however, put a second part of the ceremony in place, because he knew what the hornblowers were like. He knew how much time we like to spend in the pub, frankly. In fact, we've even got one named after us. It's quite a nice pub, actually, if you keep popping in. So, the second part of the ceremony, he said, was that once the hornblower had sounded the watch, the four corners of the market cross, at exactly 9 o'clock each evening, no matter what the town hall clock says, because that's never right, then he must then find the mayor of the day, wherever he is within the city, stand in front of him, sound three blasts of the horn, raise his cap, bow his head, sound to him, Mr. Mayor, the watch is set. So that the mayor of the day knows that the hornblower has carried out the ceremony. And again, like I say, that has carried out ever since 1604, not been missed for one night. Now, Mr. Hugh Ripley still watches over our ceremony, because it is said that he lived in the house on the corner of Market Square with the four bay windows and the pointed roof, now known as the Waitman's Cafe. It's said that he lived there during his time as a wakeman, And it is said that if the hornblower does not sound the horn to his satisfaction, his ghostly face appears in that top attic window, and all kinds of horrible things befall Ripon. People come back from the colonies and beg to forgive me. Over the years, we've had a few dealings with him. We even had an earthquake in 2011, straight after a hornblower ceremony, and certain little skirmishes as well. But he didn't appear tonight, so I'm fairly happy. I've been doing this a year and I've not seen him yet, so I'm fairly chuffed so far. Horns. So, we've had four horns over the years that we've blown within the market square to set the watch. The original charter horn, it's not blown anymore. Like I say, said before, comes out on 5 days of the year. That's about three quarters the size of this, except that it's covered in velvet now and it's capped in silver. Hangs on a big black baldric that has badges of wakemen and mares gone by. That was superseded in 1690 by the only horn that the city is actually paid for by itself. And that's very similar to this one. And that cost 6 shillings and 8 pence. Now, I've got a lot of blank faces, no one really knows what that means. 6 shillings and 8 pence in today's money is 34p. And you can't even buy a Mars bar for 34p. However, the councillors at the time were so in awe of the amount that they'd been charged for this horn that they got a plaque inscribed and put on it that the thieves, rogues and vagabonds that did charge this good corporation the princely sum of 6 shillings and 8 pence. However, just to keep them happy, we do still use it, so we get our money's worth. The third horn, again that's still blown today, is an African ox horn, and there is a picture of it up there above the works. There's a picture of the old Waitman Press sign. And like I say, it's an African ox horn with brass fittings, and it's by far the biggest horn the city owns, and it's by far the hardest to blow as well. The fourth one is the one I have with me this evening. This is known as Waitman's Horn, and it was presented to the city in 1986 for the 1100th anniversary celebration of the Charter. And this was given to us by Sigmar Antiques, which is a company that's still in operation today at the bottom of High Scale Gate. It's a walrus tusk with copper fittings, and it's a lovely looking piece. And quite nice to blow as well. There is one more, however, that we've never blown, that is there for all to see. Does anyone know where it might be?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it, we're pointing upwards. 92, 93 feet above our heads, at the top of the obelisk is a weather vane that is in the shape of a horn. It also acts as a time capsule. It was put up there in 1886, and it was decided that they would seal inside 7 gold sovereigns to keep for 100 years. Come 1985, the council decided that the stone monument that the obelisk is needed some emergency repairs and they couldn't wait an extra year. So up went the scaffolding and they decided to take the horn down and open it up in 1985. They didn't find any gold sovereigns inside. What they did find was an IOU for the previous repairs to the obelisk. Bit of a trend with Yorkshire ripping people being a bit tight. There you go. So what they decided to do was seal inside Maundy money that the Queen had given the city in April 1985, as well as a paper of the day from the Ripon Gazette, and a few other trinkets as well. Hopefully that's what's still up there. Although if you can shimmy up there and get it, I think you're doing pretty well. That's it. I think I've covered everything. If anyone's got any questions, feel free to ask. If anyone wants any photos, again, feel free to come forward. I'm more than happy to couple somebody. But otherwise, the watch is set. Good night.
Thank you.
Do you ever get to go on vacation?
There's three of us, so we rotate around. So yeah, I do have the off holiday. So yeah, we just work out amongst the three of us. So yeah.
The war years as well.
It did. Yeah, both wars. Yeah, one night.
I'm here.
All one word, all one word, out, one word, out, one word, out.